vitamin commercial. 2:53 here on The Ticket. We're celebrating 10 years of The Ticket at the Hard Rock. We'll be here until late tonight. And here to talk hockey and ticket history with us is
a very popular guest here, George,
on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Gordo is here with us. We're Dunham and Miller.
You'll handle the hockey.
And please welcome to the Hard Rock Cafe, Daryl Razor-Ray from the Stars Hockey Network.
Thank you.
Look at all the girls.
Thank you very much.
All the girls are going nuts.
And some of the guys, Gordo. And some of the guys.
Okay.
Brawls are being thrown up here on stage. They're going nuts. Hi, Razor. Thanks for coming down here.
My pleasure. Just sitting around at the rink all day. Why not come over to the Hard Rock?
Yeah. I was starting to think the first time we had you on was at one of our goofy studio audience shows. Was that the first time?
Yeah, it was, actually.
And you played
with the band. I tried to play with the band.
You remember that? When Razor tanked, you picked up a guitar.
I played an AC/DC song, sort of.
Yeah.
So you came on the studio audience show and then a couple other times. When did you become a regular with us?
I think it was when Fernando and I were officially married. When we had the ceremony in Vermont. Upstate. Ben and Jerry were both there.
You're a very likable guy. I mean, everyone likes Razor. You got a lot going for you. But it is weird how Fernando is just nuts about you.
It's creepy.
It is. It's creepy. It's downright creepy.
No, I love it. He's a good man. Enjoy him.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Indeed.
So you've been the coach of Team Musers for, this will be the 7th charity challenge. So were you a regular with us 7 years ago?
Yeah. I think I was. Was that
right?
Yeah, he was.
I've
the
been
first
here.
Coach.
I believe this is my 8th year
doing the regular in Dallas.
And I think almost, Hitch went on with the Hard Line. That was in place before I got here.
Oh.
And then we seemed to hook up somehow. We meshed in the morning. On Fridays, and it took off from there. And, of course, I've coached us to multiple victories in the charity challenge.
That's true.
We won twice, yeah. Yeah, we won twice.
And it's been, you know what, in all honesty, I get as much two things I got recognition from in the late 90s. One was room store commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think people even knew that I had anything to do with hockey. They knew me from room store commercials, and they knew me from Friday mornings with Dunham and Miller.
Wow.
I had neighbors, I had everybody, we never miss it, never miss Friday morning. Those guys are so funny. We enjoy listening to you. And I think that, and then the fact that we got that hockey game going, and Hitch and what he did with the guys in the afternoon, what we did in the morning, and you guys, I've said this 1,000 times, from the time when we were trying to build the franchise and build the sport here to when they won in 99 and then on into the millennium, the ticket was as much about the Dallas Stars and their success as anything in the city. And it's always been that way, and I think it probably goes both ways.
So when you were coming down here to Dallas, what did you expect as far as a hockey climate and living down here? I mean, you're a Canuck.
Well,
I mean,
I knew the people that were involved at the time. I played for Hitch and Jr., and Bob Gainey was in place, and there were a few of the players that, Carbonell and Ludwig and that, Joe Neuwendijk, who I'd known a little bit in my career. So they had a good base of hockey people. They had a lot of strip clubs in town. I knew that from being on the road team when we would come down here. Played in the first ever NHL game in Dallas. Back when I was with the Oilers.
Okay, the exhibition game.
Yeah,
hey, I was there that night.
Played against the Philadelphia Flyers. You guys, we had a big big bash after it, I think, over at the Hyatt. So we weren't invited to that.
We were just lowly radio guys.
It was a little Tony.
Then.
Gordo was there.
Yeah, I was there.
Gordo came as
high school then.
I think he was Gretz's buddy. Gretz brought him there. They could talk a little shop. And, coming into it, the team had just come off a horrible season.
Mm-hmm.
But they had salesmen. Hitch was, every team, every franchise is going to have coaches come and go. But not every franchise or every team has salesmen. And I think Ken Hitchcock did more in his period of time in this town to sell hockey, I think, than anybody. It's going to change. Winning, I think, is your best salesman, but I thought he did a great job. It was fun to work with him. It was fun to get involved in the city and see how hockey kind of started to take off at the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm. Visiting with Razor here. It's our 10th birthday party. We're down at the Hard Rock on McKinney. We're going to be here all evening long. And Razor's been with us for a long time. We want to thank you for especially in the early years, and certainly still holding our hand through hockey because...
All the questions.
The city of Dallas, all of us were pretty much hockey idiots. Nobody knew this sport. There have been a couple minor league teams here through the years, but really, when the Stars came to town, we knew very little about it. And, the questions in the early years were like, these guys are good skaters, huh?
Yeah, it was basic in the beginning. And you guys always found a way to turn it completely away from the game of hockey and into something else. And then we try to spin it back into hockey a little bit.
Right.
It's almost like basket weaving, what we did in the early days.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's still cultish. You know, there's no question this is a primarily football country, and we know that. But to watch it expand from where it was when we first came down here, and the knowledge of the people that go to games at American Airlines Center now, and they understand what's going on, and they get disappointed by this team now when it's going through a season the way it is right now. But that's, I think, in this market, that's the way it has to be. It has to be 50% knowledge and information, and it has to be 50% how does this translate to the common guy or the person who didn't grow up around hockey. And I think that's what you guys and probably a little bit of us have done over the years.
This is Daryl Razor Ray with us here on the Dunham & Miller Show, celebrating 10 years of the ticket today here at the Hard Rock. And you got a game tonight. And, you know, I think one thing we've never talked about, what time you usually get to the arena on game day? 2 hours before, hour before?
I'm usually there. Actually, I'm a little bit of a freak that way. I stay down all day.
Yeah?
So I'll go down in the morning at 9:30 and stay straight through till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Such a workaholic.
Man, you put the work in.
That's a long day.
That is a long day.
Man, if I were you, I wouldn't show up until about 6:30.
You're serious? You really get there at 9:30 in the morning and start going through production stuff?
Well, otherwise you drive the whole day. You end up in traffic. I just like going down there, being able to talk to both teams. I hang out with the trainers in the afternoon. We have lunch, and then you get ready for the game in the afternoon. And I just feel better that I'm there all day and then I have everything prepared before they drop the puck. There are some days when I can't do that.
That's a great
I'm kind of the same way.
I know Gordo. There's no question Gordo's there early and stays late.
Yep. What a lot.
Or is it the other way around?
See, that's great, though.
Comes late and stays early.
Because you're doing what you love. I mean, you're around the game, and not you, idiot.
Oh,
him.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're around the game that you love.
It changes a little bit when you have kids. You know, they want to see you during the day and that. So it pulls you out of that a little bit. But for the most part, I just like that confidence that you're prepared, I guess, more than anything else. You don't have to just wing it.
Well, Razor is, he's being too
as he
modest.
He looks at Gordo.
He's highlighting.
Modest.
He's working.
Yeah, he's working.
I'm sorry, guys. I was engrossed
but
in this.
You guys have gotten so much better as players.
Thank you.
Your knowledge of the game. The charity challenge has been, it still is year after year, I think, the biggest, if not, or one of the biggest, if not the biggest, moneymaker for the Dallas Stars Foundation.
Wow.
I know it's a beating at times. For you guys, it's a blast, though.
Oh, we love it.
Somebody suggested that we're trying to figure out a coach for the other team still.
Yeah.
Maybe the playmaker.
That's not a bad idea.
That would be funny. And or Dion.
In years past, I've been outcoached, but I've never been outdressed.
Right. Right.
And I've never been outtalked.
Right.
No. That could all change.
And he would be, and knowing you'd have that on the other bench would raise your level.
Absolutely. I'd go freaking pimpadelic. If you throw him on the other bench,
you go purple.
Oh, my God, I would bring the noise.
All right, we'll look into that. That's a good idea.
I'm just trying to help. We got chicks and goal, right?
Yeah.
How about that? And they're going to be in our locker room, too.
Be a lot of going five hole.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know, Razor's...
Yeah, they got that down there.
Thank you. I just want to say Razor's being a little too modest here. He's credited Ken Hitchcock and the ticket and some other things for increasing the popularity of hockey in this town. But you and Ralph and the job you guys have done and how everyone has grown to love you guys and love your broadcast. And people talk as much about you guys as they do the team and the way you've conveyed hockey to everybody in this town in an educational way and in a humorous way, I think has made it grow as much as anything.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. But again, I think it gets back to what I was saying. What you guys do, which is, again, it can't be just all information and it can't just all be buffoonery. It's got to be a mix. And I think that's what makes the ticket great. And that's how our sport and your channel have meshed with one another so beautifully.
So, can you
do you want a group hug right now?
Yeah, let's hug.
We'll wait till later.
We'll wait till later. The simulcast thing is still just crazy to me that you guys do that, and you do it so well.
Yeah, it's trying, but it is what it is, and you got to get through it. You know, we probably cheat a little bit toward the television side.
I hope they never change it. You may hope they change it, but I think people are so used to that now, where they know that if they get in their car, they can hear you.
Yeah.
Or if they're at home, they can watch and hear you. I think people would be upset if you ever changed.
Well, that's right.
Shut up, Gordon.
That's what, you know, you speak of Ralph and we have been the voice of this franchise now for a decade or close to it. And I didn't realize it until Chick Hearn died that they simulcasted in L.A.
Yep. Yeah.
Basketball. Basketball.
Yeah.
L.A. Lakers basketball was simulcast for the very reason that they would have nothing but Chick. The fans wouldn't accept anything other than him.
Right.
So, you know, not putting ourselves on the same level as him, but it's sort of the same idea. I wonder whether fans would be able to accept. Eventually they would, but I think immediately it'd be tough to hear hockey from anybody other than the two of us.
I agree.
You know, hockey holds a special place in my memory of the Ticket starting, because we quit our jobs, in November of 93. And the Ticket didn't get on the air until January 24th of 1994.
We went out and bought new houses and cars and stuff.
Yeah, well, so we had a couple months to kill and didn't work, but the Stars gave us all a press pass. So we all used to go.
So you sold those.
Here's
a scalpel to make money.
And it was the first year the Stars were in town, mm-hmm. and so we would go to every single hockey game. And I remember all the other media members in the press box kind of looking at Ryan's and Grego, and I would be sitting there, and they'd be whispering to themselves, they're never getting on the air. Look at those poor guys. They just show up and watch hockey, and they're never getting on the air ever.
Why are they here?
And sometimes we felt that way. But
we started to believe them.
We spent a lot of our time waiting for the Ticket to get on the air, watching Stars games.
My memories when we started out, and from the good times really with the franchise, remember when they would play every year in Edmonton? Do you remember the night they played forever in Edmonton, the year they won the cup? They won it four straight.
Yeah.
We got home. I remember getting off the plane, coming down. It was about 7:15 in the morning, and we were on at 8:10.
I remember that. Yeah.
So I went back to the rink. They dropped everyone off the rink. They would get their cars and came on the air, been up all night.
Uh-huh.
They won that. You could tell the momentum. Joe Noondyke had scored that night. And we talked to you guys. And there was a real euphoria, I think, around the city. There was a lot of energy around the team. Obviously, they were people could smell what was going to go on. And then the night that they won it in Buffalo, and we came back, and the same thing again. Eddie was all tanked out of his mind.
Yeah,
remember when the cop was running around at the airport?
We had him on the air that night.
He was French kissing and tonguing the cup in Buffalo. Yeah. And those were heady days. But we always ended up being that conversation with you guys with a couple pints down us. Me anyway.
Right.
And talking hockey in the morning. And I'll always remember those. Those were fun. Those were fun days.
Well, we saw the Cowboys win the Super Bowl in our first week of existence at the Ticket. And then since then, that Stars Stanley Cup is the only highlight. And, you know, back when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, we weren't even really going yet. We were hardly a station at that time. But the ramp-up, you could feel the whole ramp-up on the air the whole season to the Stars Cup and, you know, getting close the year before. And that Stanley Cup championship and the parade that followed the couple days later, that was one of the real highlights of the last 10 years.
Now you look, and Bob and Dan have the post-game show all the time at night. It's, you know, it's just Stars and the Ticket seem to be linked with one another because we sort of grew up through the last decade around here. It's been great. So
let's hug again.
The neat thing, one more, and then that's it. The neat thing is I go up to Canada now. I'll go to Vancouver, and in Canadian cities, major Canadian cities, they aren't just trying to copy sports radio, they're trying to copy the Ticket.
Really?
They, like, the fan in Toronto is a little bit different because they go after what went on in New York. But the West Coast ones, there's one in Vancouver, they essentially are trying to take you guys and turn it on to the Vancouver market.
Really?
And, you know, our Canadian Word of the Week last year, they thought that was brilliant. And
that was fun.
And it was fun.
We need to bring that back. That was
we
fun.
Need to resurrect something, Canadian something of the week. But that, it was fun. It was hard to come up with it every week. We don't speak that differently, do we?
No. Hey,
no, uh-oh. Not really. Not right. As far as you know.
Yeah, not to your face. But they want the same thing that you guys have developed down here. And sometimes they succeed at it, other times they fail. miserably at it because it's just not the same mentality up there that
you
it is down
here. You can't copy personalities.
Canadians
can copy. Well,
Canadians,
that's
yeah,
very much. Well, I don't know.
Jeez,
we couldn't copy someone in San Francisco who's been successful. I just don't.
But that's the Canadian.
That's
the Canadian way.
Yeah, I figures people from Canada try something like that. Hey, thanks for coming up here. We appreciate
my
it.
My pleasure.
We know you're busy today.
Ah, here's the razor.
It kills the day. Gordo, thanks.
Absolutely,
Razor.
Thanks once again for stepping out and not hitting me with the questions that demand to be asked. Thank you.
There he is, Daryl Razor Ray from the Stars Hockey Network. Check him out tonight on Channel 27, Stars and the St. Louis Blues. All right, we've got the audio. The ridiculous Sasquatch conversation coming up next here on the Dunham and Miller Show from the Hard Rock.